hormones that happens to be when you don't have.
Let's see, what's I starting to say? Oh, there's a movie on tonight, in case you hear something that sounds like machine guns. The wardroom is just downstairs of my room, and the machine guns are, what is it, the Valentine's Day, St. Valentine's Day Massacre, which I have no intention of seeing. I don't go to the movies anyway, and one reason I can't stand all that gunshot and, you know, all that business. They were saying, oh, it's educational, it's about Chicago. I said, you don't have to tell me anything about Chicago. I lived there for 5 years. I know a good bit about it. But let's see, what else am I going to tell you about? If you hear the noise, anyhow, it's the movie. You can hear the soundtrack and everything. By the way, before I forget it, if anybody does want to get me anything for Christmas, they could get me a bottle of Revlon nail polish, transparent nude, I think is the name of the color. It's, you know, it's practically a no color at all. I've used Kathleen's. My nails are really holding up pretty well. Between that and that nail hardener stuff, it seems to be keeping them from breaking. So if you see any of that stuff, that Revlon stuff, I'd be happy to have it. That is, if you see it, you know. Today was a beautiful, beautiful day. I was off. I had a call last night, but we didn't get anything in. However, I went up in the sun deck. I went up around noontime. I think that if we could get some sun, most of us would get over these colds that we keep getting out here. And because it's so close on the ship that one person gets a cold and everybody ends up by having it. So I did go up and I sat up there from about 12:30 to 3 and really got pretty good burn. That's the funny thing about getting a burn at the end of October. You know, this is their winter. It's very warm when it's not raining. And I thought I'd make the most of it. And must admit, it was very, very pleasant. I truly enjoyed it. They've got deck chairs up there now. The captain has them up there for anyone who wants to use them, and it's nice. And some of the kids have a tape recorder. Of course, everybody on the ship has tape recorders, as you've been told, you know. And they had this, they were up there with a tape recorder, and somebody came up with a radio. And it was the first news I've heard in weeks and weeks and weeks that we were close enough to the shore. We're out up at Wonder Beach, near Quang Tree and Hui. And because we heard some of the war news, which we don't ever get to hear, and they said that things seem to be not so active as they had been, which we, of course, thought all along. But we heard that Cardinal Cushing was planning on retiring because he had received such adverse publicity because of Jackie Kennedy. Well, we heard two things. One reporter said he said that people should maintain a charitable attitude towards her, and the other that he said that he didn't think she was living in sin or some such thing. I don't know. But anyhow, he said he was going to retire at the end of this year. At least that's what the news report said. I don't know. But yes, it would be nice to maintain a charitable attitude, and I would also think it would be nice for them to maintain a charitable attitude towards many other Catholics who are not married in the church, not just the Kennedys. But anyhow, so that was the first news that I've heard personally in several weeks, I would say. Let's see, I was trying to think of anything that of particular interest that has happened. Yeah, one night, you know, there's a German hospital ship over here, too, called the Helgoland. And it's about a third of our size, one-fifth of tonnage or something like that. I don't understand tonnage, you know me, but it's a very pretty ship. It used to be a cruise ship during the time of Hitler's occupation of Germany that went between Hamburg and Helgoland, which is an island. Now, Hamburg wasn't too far from Bremerhaven, where I used to sail into, if you recall, or where I had sailed into. And it's a lovely ship. And the German government has sent it over here, and they take care of Vietnamese. They don't have any military people. They're all civilians. And I think it's under the auspices of the Red Cross. But and their contract is for a year at a time. And they take care of anybody. They don't get calling anybody that comes aboard. Oh, there was in that article in Saturday Evening Post, it said that some of the people had to pay Vietnamese officials to get on there. The Germans certainly weren't responsible for that. Well, anyhow, there has been some visiting back and forth, and the chief of surgery over there fell and had to have surgery, and so Dr. Willett, our orthopod, operated on him here. And they invited us over there, or we invited them for dinner, I guess. It was about two nights ago. So the chief nurse asked me if I'd like to go, and I don't get to go too often, and I really am not too crazy about a lot of these things, but I said, yes, I would like to go. We went over and picked them up in the gig, and there were several German nurses and a couple of German doctors, and all spoke English somewhat, and one spoke Spanish. She had spent some time in Madrid, a lovely lady. And we came back and had dinner, and we were invited back there to for a party. Of course, I was kind of looking forward to it, because I found them very charming. The one Dr. Yeager, I would say he was close to 70, had white hair, you know, and blue eyes, spoke English quite well, and also spoke French beautifully. And he was the head of the group there, and he sat next to me on one side, and a younger man by the name of Moore sat next to me on the other side, and his family is all in East Germany, so of course he isn't able to see them, unless, interestingly enough, he visits them in Hungary. And that kind of surprised me. We were talking about that, you know, about, just to make conversation, you know, I asked him where their homes were and all, and I told him I had been to Wiesbaden and to Bremerhaven and around, and Garmisch, and we talked quite a bit. But in the middle of our dinner, we got called to go back up on station at the sanctuary. We had a backlog, surgical backlog, and needed some assistance, so we had to, we weren't able to go over to the Helgoland to party, which I was a little disappointed because I was actually anxious to see them, but we did have to get on up. And we got one casualty, and he was debrided locally in the recovery room. I mean, I don't know what they get so upset about. Of course, I don't know what their situation is on their ship either, so I shouldn't complain. They've been on the line a long time now. They're due to go off station around the 6th or 7th of November, which will keep us up on station for 10 or 11 days instead of coming into Da Nang. And actually, I know how tired they are at this point, and maybe just that extra case just is too much, you know. I can understand their feeling. It's really too much, 90 days. And the Admiral came out from Hawaii. Of course, we sound kind of cynical about these things, you know, but their headquarters are in Hawaii, and they come out every so often for these tours, and we say the only thing they come out for is to collect their bullet pay, which is, you know, we get $65 a month hazardous duty pay. And also we get a $500 a month deduction, income tax. And if they're out here so many days, they get that. I think they only have to be out here one day for that, one day of the month. But I think they have to be out here 4 or 5 days before they get their bullet pay. So we kid about that and say, yeah, that's what they're out here for, their bullet pay. And he gave us a little pep talk, you know, but he didn't say anything. And right now, it's stupid for us to be out here 90 days because we aren't taking on the casualties. Thank God, you know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen after election, whether they'll open up again or not, but the average prisoner, Chaplin was on board the other day, and I asked him, he was from 101st Airborne, and I asked him if they were busy, and he said no, they hadn't been very busy at all. And I think maybe, did I mention this to you, that they said that the reason that they weren't busy was that they had found large supplies of their food, and that the Viet Cong were hungry and they were retreating. And the average age of their prisoner of war was either 14 or 15 years old, which meant that they had many 12 or 13 year old ones. So that The North Vietnamese are hurting too. The other night, though, we were out watching them bomb, and watching the flares and watching the bomb. It seems so strange to stand by and just watch the bombing taking place. You know, see these. It's just like watching lightning, though. That's all you see, except that you know what's going on. It's unfortunate. I just wish that the whole thing would end. And Chesty Puller's son died. I knew that he had been wounded. He got wounded with a booby trap. He was, I think, 21 or 22 years old. You know, Chesty Puller was that big Marine hero during World War II. And he was a general. His son was either a second or first lieutenant. And he was brought over to the naval station, and he had lost both legs. And he was being evacuated to Japan, and when he got to Japan, he died of a stress ulcer. But I know that must be hard for his father to take. Like all fathers, he got the Silver Star for his bravery, but that doesn't bring the kid back. We're still taking on bunches of Vietnamese people, too, you know, to do miracles with. I suppose they'll leave the ship out here when this thing is all over with so that we can take care of the Vietnamese. As long as I'm not on it, I don't care. I love the ship and I don't mind being on it, but I'm not really at all intense about taking care of them. I could care less about them. Well, it looks like it's almost near the end of the tape. I'm sorry I'm yawning. The only reason I'm yawning is because of the sunburn, I think. I have no reason to yawn. I'm still trying to work energetically on Catherine's sweater, so she'll have it before Christmas. I have the back done and about three quarters of the front done. That's one of those Irish knits, you know. And it's a very pretty pattern. I think she'll like it. Well, I'm glad that Rita and Nellie and Margaret Ann liked the dress that I sent Monica. It's a pretty dress. They had prettier ones, I thought, but not drip dry, you know. And I know that the girls hate to be doing this these things by hand. And this little dress is drip dry, but it's hand embroidered, and it was all handmade. It's a pretty little thing. I couldn't get it. It's only in the white with the embroidered blue and pink flowers on it. And I'm glad she liked it. Well, listen, I'm going to close for now, and we'll make a tape again. Bye for now.